My guest at this time is Jed Babin, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense in the administration of President Bush number 41. He is also a longtime columnist and author of numerous books, including the BDS War Against Israel, his most recent book. We'll be talking to him today about the apparent beheading by ISIS of another American journalist, this time Stephen Sotloff. He is the one they threatened to kill in the previous video, the beheading of James Foley. And Jed, thanks very much for being with us.
Good to be with you, Greg.
This is essentially ISIS's message, if in fact this video is legitimate, that they're telling the president, we meant what we said. If you don't stop the airstrikes, we're going to keep doing this to hostages. Now it's a British hostage that they're threatening to kill next. What do you read into this that is in addition to what we were reading into the last video that showed the beheading of Jim Foley?
The danger is pretty evident that ISIS has effectively declared war against the United States. We have not taken any decisions that really are aimed at defending decisively our interests, our people, or our allies abroad. And that's really the whole thing. People keep bleating about, well, we don't have a strategy. Well, sure, we don't. But the reason we don't have a strategy is President Obama has dithered and blithered for so long, he does not have the decisions made. You need to make decisions on policy first. You need to decide what your goal is, what you want to have as the result of your action before you can have a strategy. And he doesn't do that. So the decisions that are necessary to defend America, its allies, and its interests are not being made. And the enemy is taking advantage of that.
So he's essentially reactive instead of proactive?
It's far worse than that. I mean, he does not even try to make the decisions that are necessary. He apparently ignores the interesting information that he gets all the time. We have some reports today that he is known through the president's daily intelligence brief. He has known and ignored specific intelligence about ISIS for about a year. I mean, what does it take to get this guy off of his indecision and into the game? And this is not a game anymore. It never really was. This is about defending American lives, American people all around the world, and even here at home.
Jed, you've obviously been at the higher levels of the Pentagon. You know how the general consideration of these sorts of issues go, although I don't know that there were a series of beheadings that were going on during the Bush administration, but there are other national security concerns certainly as well. What do presidents normally do as they wade through these issues and develop policies as they see a threat emerging, as we obviously have with ISIS over the past several months and beyond?
Well, I was never in the loop to, you know, advise the president directly, but what presidents do, and I know because I talk very frequently to people who have been in that loop, what they do is they go to their military and their diplomatic people and say, give me options. You know, this is the decision I have made. My decision is X. Tell me how to get there. And Obama doesn't do that. He doesn't make those decisions. He doesn't say, well, I want to blunt the force of ISIS and make them unable to attack American citizens anywhere in the world. Okay, well, if that's your decision, Mr. President, we can do that. You know, this is a big toolbox we've got here called the Pentagon. But if you don't make the decision, the Pentagon can't act. The Pentagon, obviously, and we're a democracy, thank God, so the Pentagon does not do things without the president's approval. Until the president decides what the blue blazes he wants to do, the Pentagon doesn't do anything. And that's what's happening now. No decision, no action.
What should be his goals?
Well, his goal should be that we should destroy as best we can everything ISIS has. Just as an example, we see B-roll on television all the time of tanks flying the Al-Qaeda flag, trucks flying the ISIS and Al-Qaeda flags. You know, every single vehicle that is moving anywhere in Iraq or Syria flying that flag ought to be, it just ought to get hit with a 250-pound bomb. I mean, that's the whole point. That's what you do. That's what we should do. And obviously, we're not doing it.
We've obviously seen British Prime Minister David Cameron in the past several days talk very seriously about what he considers one of the most dangerous threats to his homeland in a long time. We haven't seen that same type of passion or specificity. And obviously, the Prime Minister is suggesting certain things that our Constitution would not allow. But what do you make of why the president is so indecisive here?
Well, it's his nature. And then let me take a little issue with something you just said. I'm not sure that all the things that Britain's Prime Minister, Mr. Cameron, would be prescribing are kosher under American law or the American Constitution, but a whole lot is. Just for example, if you go abroad and you join the army of another nation, in which I would argue ISIS or Al-Qaeda or all the rest of these people, whether it's a nation or not, that's another organization's military. You know, under our law, you lose your citizenship. Now, why shouldn't we be enforcing that? And why shouldn't we be doing that in a way that prevents these people from coming here and doing in America what they're trying to do in Iraq and Syria?
Is there a role for Congress here, or is this one of those foreign policy purviews of the president where he's the one who's got to stand up and say what we're about?
Well, it is the purview of the president. He has the responsibility for doing this. He is the chief executive. He's the commander-in-chief. You know, there would be a role for Congress if Congress really had not rendered itself irrelevant to pretty much everything that's going on these days. They could be urging the president on. They could be, you know, sua sponte, bringing up the idea of whether we want, for example, a declaration of war against ISIS. You know, they could do things like that, but they're not because, well, you know, they are what they are, and they're not particularly relevant these days.
Jed, what do you expect the president to come up with eventually as a policy here? And if he doesn't, what's the consequences of that?
Well, I'm not sure he's ever going to do it. I mean, don't forget, when we're talking about, it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we're talking about the surge into Afghanistan. It took him 6 months to make a decision. So I don't look for anything any sooner than that. And quite frankly, the result is what you see already. You see that the ISIS people are running rampant all through Iraq and Syria. I think you're going to continue to see them recruit amongst the Muslim males all around the world, and their danger to us is going to continue to grow. There are going to be more people trying to come into the United States. I mean, effectively, our borders are pretty much open. The danger is going to be it, and God forbid, but we may see another big terrorist attack here as a result of not closing the borders and not doing anything to really put ISIS back on its heels.
Chad, last question. As I mentioned at the beginning, the next hostage that ISIS is threatening to kill is of British descent. Is that designed to play allies against one another? Because most of their verbal message was still aimed at President Obama. But obviously, we've seen the strong comments by Prime Minister Cameron. So do you think it's more designed to split allies, or do you think it's designed to send a message to Cameron that they're paying attention to what he's talking about?
Oh, I think it's much more that they're trying to tell Cameron that they don't like what he's saying when he's talking about doing the things that he wants to do. I think it's definitely a message to Cameron. And I frankly, you know, because Obama has made himself irrelevant to most of these things, you know, why should ISIS care about Obama any more than Putin obviously does? He's taken himself out of the picture. And, you know, we can just look forward to seeing more people get killed, more journalists held hostage. And I think there's 20 or 30 of them still in ISIS hands. In Iraq and Syria. So those people they very well may not be salvageable. Their lives may never be saved.
Jed, on that sobering note, we'll have to call time. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Jed Babin, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense in the administration of George H.W. Bush. He's the author of numerous books, including the most recent, The BDS War Against Israel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.